Blog Talk Radio.
Indeed, 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 we are the product of God's steadfast love. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. We are considering the theme, the topic, half-baked congregations, the product of half-baked pastors, half-baked leaders at the helm. Our scripture is Hosea 7:8. It reads, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we come to you again seeking wisdom, heavenly insight. We come to you, Lord, seeking instruction, seeking to be taught so that we do not repeat the mistakes that others have made in the past. Lord, when we look at your church today, we see half-baked congregations. Is it, Lord, is it indeed the product of half-baked pastors? Let this series connect those dots for us, Lord. Let your word make the case to see if this is true. We praise your name. We glorify you, Lord. What a wonderful time we had in prayer last night at our weekly prayer meeting, O God. It is our prayer that you received every prayer made to you, that the prayers were acceptable in your sight as we prayed from broken and contrite hearts. Bless Grace Church. Bless all that we are endeavoring to do. And most of all, bless our seeking you in prayer and bless our seeking you in the word. This we ask. This we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Last week, when we talked about half-baked leaders, we came across Solomon. How Solomon, in his old age, became an old fool whose many wives, many strange wives, led him away from the Lord. No doubt, Solomon recovered. Solomon turned back from his backslidden state. And we know that he ended on a good note. But in between, he tainted his record and brought much sin full of God. And ultimately, the kingdom of Israel that was once united was rent in two. Now, the renting of the kingdom of Israel was not equal. For one king took 10 tribes, and Solomon's descendants took 2 tribes as a means of punishment. Today, we want to see who Solomon's successor was. Now, he had 2 successors. Since the kingdom was divided in 2, he had 2 who succeeded him. In the north, the man who succeeded him was one of his aforementioned governmental servants by the name of Jeroboam. And the one who succeeded him in the south with the 2 tribes was his son Rehoboam. I want to encourage you to read in their entirety to get a better handle of what we're going to be teaching today in your devotional time. I want to encourage you to read all of 1 Kings chapter 11 from verses 1 through 43. 1 Kings 11, verses 1 through 43. Take your time in reading it. It's going to give you some tremendous background as to why leaders and churches are half-baked. Also, I would like you to read 1 Kings chapter 12. Verses 1 through 33, which is the entire chapter. Today, we're only going to be reading portions of 1 Kings 11 and portions of 1 Kings 12, only because time is of the essence. But in your devotions, if you want a better picture, you must read those 2 entire chapters. Let's turn to 1 Kings 11. 1 Kings 11, starting at verse number 29. 1 Kings 11, 29. Now, in this chapter, God has already informed Solomon that he will be renting the kingdom from him. And now God sends a prophet to speak to his successor in the north. That successor is Jeroboam. And let's read what the Word of God says about Jeroboam. Let's read, starting at 1 Kings 11, 29 through 40. We're only going to read from verse 29 through 40. Let us begin.
Then Solomon's servant, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephraimite from Zeredah, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow, also rebelled against the king.
Now notice, this Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he was from the tribe of Ephraim, right out of verse number 26. Right in the opening verse, this Jeroboam is from the tribe of Ephraim. Now remember, our main text is Hosea 7:8. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Okay.
And this is what caused him to rebel against the king. Solomon had built the millow and repaired the damages to the city of David, his father. The man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor, and Solomon, seeing that the young man was industrious, made him the officer over all the labor force of the house of Joseph. Now it happened at that time, when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, met him on the way, and he had clothed himself with a new garment, and the two were alone in the field.
Now notice, the two were alone in the field the way God and Moses were alone at Mount Sinai. The prophet is going to reveal to Jeroboam the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord is that God is going to give to Jeroboam the 10 tribes to the north. This is what the prophet is going to convey to him.
Then Ahijah took hold of the new garment that was on him and tore it into 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam,
take for yourself 10 pieces. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to you. But he shall have one tribe for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, because they have forsaken me and worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the people of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do what is right in my eyes and keep my statutes and my judgments, as did his father David. However, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, because I have made him ruler all the days of his life for the sake of my servant David, whom I chose, because he kept my commandments and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and give it to you, 10 tribes. And to his son I will give one tribe, that my servant David may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen for myself, to put my name there. So I will take you, and you shall reign over all your heart desires, and you shall be king over Israel. Then it shall be, if you heed all that I command you, walk in my ways, and do what is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build for you an enduring house, as I built for David, and will give Israel to you. And I will afflict the descendants of David because of this, but not forever.
Solomon therefore sought to kill Jeroboam. But Jeroboam arose and fled to Egypt, to Shishak, king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon.
And that's where our reading ends. So notice, the prophet finds Jeroboam in the field, brings him the prophetic word with prophetic demonstration, takes the new garment that he has, tears it into 12 pieces, tells him to take 10, and tells him that he will reign over the 10 tribes. Now, it says in verse 37, let's look at verse 37. It says, and I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to that thy soul desires, and shall be king over Israel. And it shall be, now listen to this, and it shall be that if you will hearken unto all the commands that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do that which is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, then I will be with thee, and will build thee a sure house. Another word for house is a dynasty. I will build for you a sure dynasty, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee. So notice what God says. You staying as king and me building a dynasty on your behalf is dependent upon you doing that which is right in my sight. So now, when every man receives a pastorate from the Lord, these words should be read. If you do that which is right, if you hearken unto my commands, if you follow me with all your heart, then I will prosper the works of your hands. I will bless the works of your hands. But if not, I'll kick you out. See, it's all conditional. Conditional. You do what's right, you stay on the job. You do what's wrong, I kick you out. It's simple. Now, let's read and see if Jeroboam did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Before we get there, before we read that in 1 Kings 12, here is an interesting verse, verse 40 of 1 Kings 11, that I don't want you to not pay attention to. This is a critical verse, because after he receives the favorable prophecy, after he is told that God will bequeath to him 10 tribes, look what he does. Look at his first move. Solomon sought therefore, we're reading out of 1 Kings 11:40. Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam, and Jeroboam arose and fled into Egypt. Now there was his first critical mistake. When Saul, King Saul, was pursuing David, David would not flee into Egypt and made the horrible mistake of fleeing into the land of the Philistines. Remember that when David fled into the land of the Philistines and God had to rebuke him and tell him to get out? So here Solomon is angry. Solomon, no doubt, has put out the word, I want Jeroboam arrested. I want him killed. He sought to kill Jeroboam. He sought Jeroboam as the fulfillment of God's prophecy. So he says, if he's the man God has chosen, the way for me to preserve my kingdom is to kill the man and stop the prophecy. That's how loony Solomon was. You can't stop God's prophecy. But when you're in a deranged state, when you have departed from the Lord, when you're not thinking right, you do insane things. And so here, Solomon is acting like Saul. Saul, too, wanted David killed. David hadn't done anything wrong other than he is Saul's replacement. That's the only crime. David's crime is that he's Saul's replacement. Jeroboam's crime is that he is Solomon's replacement. So Solomon wants him killed. Now, David, for the most part, after being rebuked and coming out of the land of the Philistines, where he had no business being, David, for the most part, went from one cave to another in the land of Judea, hiding from Saul. Here, Jeroboam goes down to Egypt, and he's hanging out with the Pharaoh of Egypt and learns Pharaoh's ways. Now, remember, we came out of mixture. We don't go into mixture. So now, Solomon dies. And now is Jeroboam's time to come back and claim the kingdom. And let's pick it up in chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 25, when now Jeroboam is the king of the 10 tribes in the north. And let's see if he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Let's see. So we're going to 1 Kings 12, starting at verse number 25.
Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim and dwelt there.
Now the mountains of Ephraim are the mountainous regions of the land allocated to the tribe of Ephraim where he was from.
Also, he went out from there and built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart,
Now the kingdom may return to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn back to their lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah.
Now you see, he's thinking in the flesh. The prophet had already told him that God was rending the kingdom. It was a punishment to Solomon that in his son's lifetime, Rehoboam, God would rend the kingdom and give Jeroboam 10 tribes. Jeroboam had nothing to fear because this was the fulfillment of prophecy. God would keep his word that God would give him 10 tribes. Now, Jeroboam panics. He says, listen, at the first feast, at the first opportunity to go worship the Lord in Jerusalem, they will make up with Rehoboam, and once they make up with Rehoboam, they'll come back and they'll kill me. So, again, not praying, not seeking the Lord, not turning to the prophet for advice, he turns to his own carnal thinking. Now, remember, he just came back from Egypt, where he was there for a few years, hanging out with the Egyptian pharaoh and picking up foreign leadership techniques, styles, protocols, and models. Foreign, strange, not to be used among the people of God. All right. Start reading at verse 28.
Therefore the king asked advice, made 2 calves of gold, and said to the people,
It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt.
Well, that's exactly what Aaron said yesterday in our study concerning Aaron. Aaron said the same thing. Aaron made the golden calf and said, "These, behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt." See, going to Egypt, and in the Bible, Egypt equals the world. You're using worldly techniques, worldly means to keep God's people in check. Not spiritual, not heavenly means, not divine means, but earthly, carnal means, worldly means. Let's continue reading. Starting at verse 29.
And he set up one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan.
And this thing became a sin. Now God told them through the prophet, if you follow me, if you obey me, if you do my commandments and observe my statutes, I will establish your dynasty. You don't have to worry about political intrigue. You don't have to worry about an election every 4 years. You don't have to worry about that. I will settle you forever. Having gone to Egypt, having learned the ways of the world, having learned how to control the masses, Jeroboam adopts the ways of Egypt. He adopts strange religious practices, just like Aaron. Exactly like Aaron. Same example. Let's continue reading.
Made shrines on the high places and made priests from every class of people who were not of the sons of Levi. Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did at Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made. And at Bethel, he installed the priests of the high places which he had made. So he made offerings on the altar which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month which he had devised in his own heart. And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel, and offered sacrifices on the altar, and burned incense.
So here you have a small picture in your outline. There is Jeroboam, and he's lifting his hands, and there's the cap, and there's the trumpet. They have praise and worship, and they have incense burning, which is emblematic of prayers. The sacrifices also are burning, and there you have he's ordained people that are not from the ordaining class. I mean, he's just made a mess of things. Instead of consulting the Lord, instead of consulting the Lord's prophet, instead of consulting the Lord's priest, he does none of the above. You see, how many pastors in the church today, how many pastors are not consulting Scripture? If you want to know what God wants done in his house, consult the Scriptures. The Scriptures are our ministry manual. It's how to do ministry. The last thing pastors today are consulting is the Bible. What are they consulting? Well, they're going to these pastors' conferences, and they're consulting with people who don't know anything about God but who claim to know things about God. And they bring in all of this worldly philosophy into the church. Look, saints, it's simple. Ministry is simple. It's so simple. And yet we have these pastors chasing all kinds of means that are unscriptural to do God's work. Just like, first of all, to have two calves, one in the north, one in the south, again, is idolatry. Had Jeroboam consulted Scripture, he would have known that that was tried before. Many of the things that are being tried today in the church, many of the erroneous practices being implemented in the church today have already been implemented in the 70s, in the 60s, in the 50s. It didn't work then. It did not work then. It's not going to – listen, if it didn't work, if these worldly means did not work in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, what makes you think they're going to work now? Well, we're going to do this to keep the people. We're going to do this to ensure that we don't lose no one. Well, first of all, they're not yours to lose. They belong – they're all the Lord's people. They're God's people. By doing things God's way, that's how you keep people. You keep them in the Lord. You keep them following the Lord, not following golden calves and not following ministers that you have ordained that have no business being ordained, and observing feasts and holidays and rituals and practices and all kinds of things that you would have them to do, spiritual gymnastics that have nothing to do with serving the Lord, just to keep them busy. And to get them to think that they're serving the Lord, but they're not. It's all a farce. And if you don't believe me that it's a farce, read chapter 13, and you will see that God was not at all happy with Jeroboam. Just read chapters 13 and 14 of 1 Kings, and you'll come away knowing, boy, this guy blew it. Because God said to him, if you obey me, if you do what's right, if you stick with me, if you follow me with all your heart, I will establish your house. And the moment he became king, what did he do? He mixed up the people's thinking by bringing Egypt to Ephraim. That's what he did. What he learned with Pharaoh, what he saw Pharaoh doing, he implemented that in Ephraim. The people have become mixed. The people are a cake not turned. So Jeroboam is another example of a man whom God calls into ministry, but who refuses to obey the Lord and follow the Lord as the Lord would have him to do. And in so doing, the people suffer. Well, we're going to leave it there. We'll be back tomorrow. Please read all of 1 Kings 11, all of 1 Kings 12 for a good background. Also, 1 Kings 13 and 1 Kings 14. It will bless your soul. Well, we'll be back tomorrow, Thursday. We'll continue with the study. Until then, may God richly, richly bless you.